The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. It is time for Football 4. And Football 4, we're going to start with a philosophy question. Right? Like it's college, you're used to 300 people lecture halls, and then you get the philosophy class with like 12 people, and you sit in a circle, Indian crisscross applesauce on the floor.
And then after a week, it's down to 6, and so many people are like, philosophy.
And then the teacher is like, let's go sit under a tree for today's class. ESPN put out a list of the top draft needs for each NFL team. Obviously, the Panthers were on that list. The philosophical question is, would it have been easier to list the positions that they don't need rather than listing the ones that they do? They put out a top three needs. I went, that is just the beginning. That is the preamble. The top three needs for, and by the way, top three for 10 teams in the league is too few. For the Panthers, it's way fewer. They put their top three needs, the Panthers, right? This is top three draft needs: outside linebacker, wide receiver, and center.
Wide receiver, yes.
I put together my own list, but I call these just their drastic draft needs, right? Because I think they're borderline, other than quarterback, there's not really a position I would be like, they don't need any help there. But these are my drastic draft needs for the Panthers. Outside linebacker, wide receiver, center, corner, safety, tight end, running back, and defensive end. And some of those categories, I think they drastically need multiple guys. That's a problem, okay? That's a problem. And you know how it gets worse? They traded away Brian Burns for draft capital, and I know some of it is in the future, but they traded Brian Burns away for draft capital. They still only have 7 picks. They have no first rounders. They have 4 picks in the first 4 rounds, 2 of them being seconds. They have 7 picks, 8 positions of drastic need, a few others that I wouldn't call drastic, but they're still needs. And then a few of those drastic needs, you need multiple players. And free agency has kind of been coming and going, and they haven't exactly filled a lot of them. So the philosophical question is, do you draft players to fill those needs, or do you draft best player available and literally start as if, you know, you have so many holes that it just turns your entire roster into a hole? You have so many gaps in your roster that, you know, filling them is almost a moot effort. I genuinely think this team does not have, outside of quarterback, does not have a position that if they drafted a player, I would be upset with. If they told me, third round pick, we took a guard, and they just spent $153 million over the next 4 and 5 years on 2 massive guard contracts, guess what I would say? That's fine. If they said he was the best player available on our board by a long shot, and we just are in the business of bringing talent onto our roster of any kind, so yeah, we have our 2 starting guards, but we think this guy is a starting caliber guard in the NFL right now, I'm fine with it. They can't pass up value. And then it's a flex by Dan Morgan, right? Then he's saying, listen, here's what's going to happen. He's going to play really well in the preseason, right? He's going to look good every time he's on tape. If there's an injury to one of those 2 guys ahead of him, he's going to play well. And then we have a trade chip. And then I'm going to turn that third round pick into a second round pick. And if that means that for this year we don't get the most value out of that pick, guess what? And he's not going to say this, but he's going to say it in his actions. We're not winning the Super Bowl this year anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm big on every single NFL team having one goal. That goal is to win the Super Bowl. Right? There was just a – actually, I don't know why I was watching this. Something on social media popped up, and it was about a guy that won the Powerball like a couple years ago. He won, I don't know, $2 billion, something ridiculous. And in the video I watched, it said it was like He one out of 320 million, billion, trillion, whatever the odds were, right? Every NFL team is one out of 32. Now, obviously, you know, the worse you are, the longer your odds get. But there's only 32 teams. This isn't winning the lottery. One out of 32. Your goal should be to win a Super Bowl. Your goal shouldn't be like, well, we want to stop being embarrassed. Well, really? Like, hey, like there are baseball teams that are like, as long as we're finishing above 500 every year, we're good. Some might even think in baseball, finishing above 500 is a pipe dream, right? Pirates. Like, there's certain teams that I hate that. And if you can't win the Super Bowl this year, right, and you have to be honest with yourself, look at your roster and go, are we a legitimate contender? If you can't win a Super Bowl this year, can you win it the next year? Can you kick some of the value from this year into next year? Can you, like, they have the 33rd overall pick. We've talked extensively, and we will continue to talk extensively about what they can do with that 33rd pick. If you told me you could get 2 second rounders next year for that 33rd from a team that you think is going to be bad, right? And they got a pick from somewhere else. Like, if you think they're going to be two top half of the second round, you have to take that deal. Because then you're like, well, the following year we might be closer to winning a Super Bowl, and this year we're not doing it. You can put together a list of, like, this is what it is, right? I'll use the legendary analogy of building a football team, right? I believe it was Bill Parcells. You can't ask me to cook the dinner if you don't let me buy the groceries. We'll talk about cooking dinner, right? We'll talk about cooking dinner. So here you go. You're trying to make the Panthers are trying to make. What's your favorite meal, Graham?
Hibachi chicken.
Hibachi chicken. Goodness gracious, I have no idea what's on there. So let's go with spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay.
You went with hibachi chicken. Do you know how to make hibachi chicken, or is that like what you order?
No comment.
You went with something from like you had to spend 4 years at the Cordon Bleu Culinary Institute.
I mean, chicken, vegetables, rice,
okay,
zucchini.
All right, fine. Chicken, vegetables, rice, zucchini. Perfect. We'll go with hibachi chicken. I'm making hibachi chicken. You're going out to the store, and I'm like, hey, I need you to pick up a couple ingredients. They're like, great, what do you have? Well, I don't have the chicken. I don't have the rice. I don't have the vegetables. I don't have the zucchini. You're like, you're not cooking hibachi chicken. You could cook anything, right? Like you could cook any meal in the world. Just tell me what you want me to go get. I'm going to the grocery store. You could cook steak. You could cook spaghetti and meatballs. You could cook pizza, right? Because you don't even have the semblance of it. That's closer to where the Panthers are than me telling him to go to the store and just going, I need you to pick up a zucchini. I thought I had one and I don't. That's the move. That's the problem. They're so far away that they don't even know what they need. ESPN tried to say you need a linebacker, a wide receiver, and a center. They don't even know they need that because they're so far away, they don't know what they're building. Best player available. If it happens to be a position of need, you thank your lucky stars. But best player available. I should get it like put on a poster somewhere. BPA. Best player available. Oh, but we have Jadeveon Clowney at defensive end. So? If the best player available is a defensive end, you take him. Oh, I still think J.C. Horn is good enough to be a number one cornerback. So? If the best player available is a corner, you take the corner. There is no such thing as a position of need when everything is of need. Aside from quarterback, because that's a different beast. The people, the personalities on your team in team sports matter. And it does feel like everybody's relearning this. And it's, I think, a fight back against analytics. It's funny because we were at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park for opening day earlier this week. I was talking with Mike Burling, one of their vice presidents for the Bulls, vice president of baseball operations. And we were talking about the way the Rays do things. And he was saying all of the cameras and the analytics and the spin rates and the exit velocities, and they track everything. And what I said was, I get it, but I kind of also long for the days of, like, I just heard the crack of the bat and I knew that swing was different. Or I talked to a guy and I knew there was no way with his personality, with the look in his eye, that he wasn't going to be successful. Or I talked to his teammates and they told me he's got something different. And I was like, okay, file that away. And by the way, Mike Burling agreed with me. He said, I do think there is a lot of that. He does think scouts still do that. He does think that's still in the game. And then we were talking with Gary Hahn, right? We were talking with the voice of the NC State Wolfpack, who is kind of in his retirement tour, even if it wasn't planned to be this elaborate, it is. He announced he was retiring months ago, so he was prepared to have his last game be the first game of the ACC tournament against Louisville 9 games ago, and the team keeps winning, so he keeps getting one more. And we talked to him about what this NC State team does, what they're special at, and this is part of what he gave us.
Now, this NC State team doesn't have a mega leader, but it's got a whole bunch of veterans, and these guys have played basketball for a long time. They're hungry, and all of a sudden at the end of the year, things weren't going very good, but they weren't that bad. I mean, they lost 4 straight games going into the ACC tournament, but they were competitive in all of them. And what you'd find was that there was a stretch of about 5 minutes or 7 minutes in the game. It either came in the first half, most of the time it came in the second half in the last 10 minutes, where a couple of things would happen. There'd either be a bunch of breakdowns defensively, or there'd be a period where NC State just couldn't put the ball in the basket. And that's all it takes when you're playing. I'll tell you, when you're playing ACC games, there's a fine line between winning and losing, and that's all it takes.
There is a healthy amount in that conversation. You can go find it, the full conversation between Graham, I, and Gary, on our Everywhere podcast can be found on the Pack Therapy podcast. There is a healthy amount of talking about how much that team is close, how much that team likes each other, how much they get along. So then, all right, I'm starting to connect dots, right? We have this conversation with the Durham Bulls. We have this conversation with Gary Hahn. Then the Bills trade Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is their best wide receiver. They don't have another stud wide receiver.
Yeah.
He is their best wide receiver, and they cut him, or didn't cut him, they trade him. But guess what? When they traded him, Stephon Diggs' cap hit for this year went from $28 million to $31 million for the Bills. So they paid $3 million more for him not to play for them than they would have had to pay against the cap for him to play for them, and he's their best wide receiver, and they got him the heck out of there. You know what that tells me? They didn't want Stephon Diggs the person on their team, because Stephon Diggs the player is really gosh darn good. And then it went back to a conversation I had about John Shire earlier this year about how if you go back and watch Duke's loss to Tennessee out of the NCAA tournament last year, they didn't have the edge, right? They got bullied. They didn't have the, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean this like a hockey guy that's going to go fight, they don't have the enforcer.
Yeah.
Then this year, the game where they got knocked out by NC State, they didn't have edge. They didn't have, for lack of a better term, and I'm not talking about a hockey guy that's going to fight, they didn't have the enforcer. And I'm going, Shire, I believe the next step for him, and he's a very good coach, and he's won a bunch, and he's made an Elite Eight, and he's won an ACC championship, is recruiting all of the personalities you need in addition to a ball handler, a shooter, a 7-footer. You also need the again, for lack of better terms, alpha, the quiet guy, the funny one to bring levity. Like, you also need to bring all of that in and mix it into the pot stew, the cauldron of a winning team.
Someone that when the other team is playing a bully ball, and I don't mean bully ball like playing dirty, I mean bully ball in the sense of when they're, you know, just being more aggressive than you are down low, you got to have somebody that can kind of push back, match that energy.
Or who's just going to tell coach during a timeout, don't come in the huddle, I got this.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's the point is obvious, and it's been talked about for years, centuries even, right? The point is obvious. The people matter. The personalities matter. But in 2024, a lot of people have gone past it. Fantasy sports, right? Video game sports. In my video games, I don't have to worry about if my Madden guys get along with each other, right? I don't have to worry about that because I'm the one controlling them. In my fantasy sports, right? There's a viral tweet that goes viral every couple years where like Tim Tebow is out of the league and somebody picks him up and puts him on his fantasy roster, and the conversation that's in the meme or the viral post is, why'd you pick up Tebow? And he goes, locker room wasn't in a good place. I need somebody that's a bit more aggressive. I need somebody that's going to turn it around.
This is a little freaky since you were talking about Stephon Diggs, but some breaking news from Adam Schefter. The Houston Texans. Do I need to hit the sounder?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the news. You're deciding that.
I guess that'd be my role as the producer of the program. The Houston Texans made a significant change to Stephon Diggs' contract as part of the recent trade for the star wide receiver from the Buffalo Bills. Houston wiped out the final 3 years on Diggs' contract, which gives him the ability to hit free agency in 2024, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter.
So even they don't want to commit to the guy they just traded for. I don't. Maybe it's a little like prove yourself deal, but it plays all into it, right? They can't just bring him in and say we needed a wide receiver who's fast and can catch, because you also have to think about how he's going to affect as a person Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, whoever else is in that locker room.
The locker room, yeah, locker room guy.
Numbers are taking away that understanding and making us relearn it. Kentucky, what did Kentucky have? Kentucky basketball has maybe two of the top 10 picks in the draft, right? Dillingham and Reed, what is it? Reed Shepard.
Yeah.
Guess what else happened? They lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and those two guys didn't play great. You need the people. NC State appears to, like we just talked with Dennis Cox out there in Phoenix. NC State, they're vibing. I said, what's the vibe check? He said, they're the exact same way. They're TikTok dancing. DJ Burns gets it. DJ Horn gets it. Ben Middlebrooks gets it. They're vibing.
Playing music on the boombox.
They like each other. Now, it's, you know, certain sports, you can't like everybody. I played football. There are 110 people in our locker room. There's no subsection of anyone in America where you're going to be best friends with 109 other people. But you can have your 15 that you're really good friends with, right? One of the very first things I learned in college, and it came from one of our veterans, an All-American by the name of Charles Graves. He said, this is the way he described it, find a clique you can bang with. He was like, find your 15, find your 20 who do things the way you want them done, right? Hang out in a way that you have fun and get the work done. The people in your locker room matter. And it does feel like sports are relearning that after that's all we knew for like a century. Then analytics came in and said, no, actually what matters is on-base percentage. And it's like, yeah, kind of.